First, you probably know the bad news already. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There's a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. As a finance nerd, you would assume that I have my money game all together. Well, shocker, I didn't. Until Monarch Money. Monarch Money allowed me to easily see what is going on with my finances, help me get a better handle on my spending, budgets, and more. It's my go-to app every day, more so than my bank, because I can quickly see where I am with my budgets and spending, allowing me to invest more and spend time on things I want to do. It's my GPS for money. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now you get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/beginners. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all your tags and categories. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. Change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications, set up automatic rules for transactions and notifications, and more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving the product. They release updates every 2 weeks and allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. In fact, Monarch Money is one of the first to bring you direct Apple Card, Apple Cash, and savings syncing with the latest iOS 17.4 update. Now you can sync your wallet directly for seamless budgeting. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/beginners. That's monarchmoney.com/beginners for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I'd pay for vacations with whatever was in my wallet, but I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
What's the best way to get started in the market? Download Andrew's ebook for free at stockmarketpdf.com.
Love this podcast because it crushes your dreams of getting rich quick.
They actually got me into reading stats for anything.
You're tuned in to the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Led by Andrew Sather and Dave Ahern.
Step-by-step premium investing guidance for beginners.
Your path to financial freedom starts now.
Starts now.
All right, folks, welcome to Investing for Beginners podcast. Tonight, we're going to do episode 227, and we're going to take on one great listener question we got recently. This is going to be kind of a four-parter, if you will. So we got some interesting takeaways for this great question we got recently. So I'll go ahead and start and read the question, and we'll do our usual give and take. So I have, hi, Andrew. I'm really trying to stick with investing. When the stock price keeps dropping or not really moving, I'm getting a bit downbeat as how you can really make money long term when it seems you always have less in it. Is it really the dividend that you're depending on? This also may not bring the price up with the stock price falling. I'm not someone that continually emails seeking advice. Please don't think that. It's just getting make or break for me at this stage. Many thanks, Stephen. So, Andrew, let's kind of dissect Stephen's question here and see if we can help raise his spirits a little bit.
Totally. And you know, Stephen, I think your psyche right now and kind of how you feel about maybe your stock picks or the stock market in general, when you're first starting out in the market, in my opinion, I think how you feel about stocks really depends on when you started. So if you want to go back and listen to episodes we did like a year ago, and you listen to some of the questions we received from people, they were very optimistic and felt like they were doing a really good job of picking their stocks. And then just based on the tone of your email, I get the sense that you probably started investing somewhere around 2022, early 2022 time period. and the market has not done well ever since. So I want to first maybe encourage you in that the market is like a roller coaster. It goes up and down, and it has good seasons and bad seasons, and that's just the reality of it. But if you zoom out far enough, you will see that over the very long term, it goes from the bottom left to the upper right. But as you're in it and you're riding this roller coaster, you look at 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, even a couple years, there will be times where you are falling. And that's the whole market, not just the stock you picked, but the whole market. So you have to understand that there are bear and bull markets. And there are a reason that they call them those terms and that people refer to them, because that's just the reality of the stock market. And I don't see that ever changing.
No, it's probably never going to change. As long as human beings are a part of the market and our emotions that control the way that we view things, you're going to continue to see that Mr. Market or Mrs. Market, whichever you pronoun you prefer, they offer different prices every single day. And sometimes they can offer a different price within a couple hours. And it's really hard to know whether they're giving you a deal or not without doing a little research and kind of understanding what it is that you're buying. But I think one of the things that people sometimes separate from the stock market and the idea of investing in stocks is you're buying a business. You're not buying a ticker. You're not buying some electronic signal that's on an app on your phone or on a website on your computer. You're actually buying a business and a company. And the market will, in the long run, will give you the returns that you deserve for that particular company. Does that mean that every single company you're going to buy is going to be a great investment? Nope. It doesn't. Unfortunately, there are going to be winners and losers. And there's a couple things that I think you need to kind of keep in mind to help, I guess, even out the psyche that Andrew was discussing. So first of all, when we think about the market and what is makes up the market is all these different companies that people are buying and selling on a daily, hourly, minute by minute basis in some cases. And there's big money involved. There's smart money involved, air quote smart money. There's dumb money involved. There's all kinds of different monies involved in it. But it really comes down to buying and selling a particular business. And the other thing you want to think about is when we look at the returns of the market, if you look over the last couple of years in particular, it's very, very focused on really four companies are really been driving these huge returns for the stock market. And they're the big names that we know, Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft, Google, and I'm going to blank it. Apple. Thank you. So it's really four or five companies that have really driven the returns of the S&P 500. And that's been about 50% of the return, give or take the period that you look at. And so the rest of the 50% comes from another 495 companies. And so the media tends to focus on the winners, the extreme winners, and the extreme losers. And sometimes they'll get so focused on a company, like I'll just pick on somebody for a minute, Zoom. So 2 years ago, Zoom was the hottest company, a huge, huge run-up in price, and it got way ahead of its fundamentals. And when I say fundamentals, it got way ahead of really where the business was. Now, is Zoom a good business? I think the jury's still out on that, but I think it's proving to be a pretty resourceful and in a long term, probably going to be a pretty decent business. But was it worth what that price was at that time? No, it wasn't. So think of it like buying a BMW. Would you go buy a entry-level BMW for $350,000? No, you wouldn't. Would you pay $75,000? Sure, because that's a fair price for it. So that's kind of the same idea when you're buying stocks. And sometimes companies will get ahead of really where the business is for the long term. Now, can Zoom grow from here after dropping, however, 75%, 80% from that high? Of course it can, because the business fundamentals, as our friend Braden likes to say, in the long run, business fundamentals matter, and the stock market will reward those people that invest in those kinds of companies.
It really will, and that's, I think, a really great way to put it. We have to remember about the stock market that it's not only to zoom in or zoom out on the big picture, but also just kind of think about some of the other factors that are in play with the stock market. So I'll give another example, and I think this one doesn't really get a lot of play right now, but the invention of the 401k is actually a relatively newer thing that's in the business world. And so if you think about what a 401k is, it automatically in the background, without people even realizing it, takes money from their paycheck and throws it into the stock market. And so if you think about if that's driving a huge part of money that's going into the stock market, well, when you have, think about the economy, right? The economy goes up and down. There's recessions and boom periods. So in boom times, everybody has a job, everybody's getting a raise, a lot of money is going through their 401k. But when times get tough, for example, like we've seen in 2022, inflation starts to become a concern for people. Maybe they reduce the amount of money that's going into their 401ks. If a bunch of people in the economy are doing that, then maybe the stock market kind of takes a turn from that. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case here, but I'm saying that's one of the many major factors that change the prices of stocks. And so that single factor could have nothing to do with any of the businesses that are in there. That's not to say a company like Bank of America is not doing well as a bank, but it could simply be less people putting money into the stock market, and that drops the value of all stocks. And so it doesn't make sense. I mean, I get the idea of it, and I get the feelings, I get the emotions of it, but you shouldn't beat yourself up over the fact that, man, I started investing 2 months ago, my portfolio, every single stock I picked is in the red. That could not be your fault. It could be bigger forces at play. And it could simply mean you're not even making good picks. You could be making great picks, you know? Like if I pick a stock and it loses 5%, but the market lost 10, hey, that's a great pick. So you have to try to put things in perspective. I know it's hard, but there's a lot of things going on when it comes to the stock market. And so that's why, again, it goes back to what's the foundation of why you're investing money. To me, it's I'm putting money to work. I'm letting businesses do that work for me. And so by giving my money to businesses and them putting that money to work, they will give me more money into the future. And that's something you can bank on, that in the short term, there's all this noise with the stock market and all these different factors that are going into it. But over the long term, like the Braden quote that you mentioned, or Benjamin Graham is another great one. In the short run, the market is a voting machine. The long one, it's a weighing machine. That concept is really ties hand in hand with the idea of giving your money to businesses, letting them do the work for you. And you have to turn off that short-term noise. Otherwise, you'll drive yourself crazy. I don't care if you've been investing for 2 months or two decades. You have to turn off that noise or you're going to drive yourself crazy.
One of the best ways to earn more money is to start a side hustle. Part of growing your side hustle is working with the best tools to help you succeed. Shopify is here to help. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit $1 million order stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify's easy-to-use system allows you to set up a sales page, take payments, and start putting your new ideas and products out into the world with ease. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to help support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/beginners, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/beginners now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/beginners.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Yeah, you absolutely do. I was listening to an interview today with Jason Zweig, who is one of the better finance writers out there. And he works for Wall Street Journal, I believe.
Yeah, and I meet him all the time.
Yeah, he's great. Super, super smart guy. A very, very good writer. He's really good at kind of breaking down difficult problems and ideas and explaining them in simple terms so people like me can understand them. And one of the things he was talking about today in this interview I was listening to is with our friend William Green on the Investors Podcast. And he was talking about this idea that we are our worst enemies. And a lot of times when we're investing in particular, that our emotions can really drive what we believe and what we do. And learning how to control our emotions is probably arguably the biggest struggle for people to overcome when they invest. And learning how to detach the emotional part of investing from the actual reality of what you're doing will go a long, long ways towards you being successful in the market. And I think that's one of the things that it doesn't get talked about probably as much as it should, but somebody like Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger in particular, they are very unemotional when it comes to investing and kind of their whole idea of what they're doing and how they do it. And they just don't react much. And I think if you can learn whatever trick it needs to be for you to be able to detach yourself from the emotional part of investing, whether it's the fear of missing out because you see your friends buying a particular thing and it's, you know, going to the moon, or in this circumstance where you're seeing things not do as well as they have over the last 2 years. And it can be a struggle. I mean, I struggle with it too, but there's little tricks you can do. For example, don't look at your stock portfolio for a month. You know, don't put your brokerage app on your phone. Only look at it on your computer. Just little things like that, that will make it more of a speed bump, as our friend Andy likes to say, to keep you from reacting quickly. And I think the other thing that you need to think about too, besides the emotional and mental part of investing, is when the stock market is going down like this, it's actually an opportunity. It's a sale. Because depending on what the company is or companies that you're investing in, this could be a great time to buy something at a cheaper price. You know, we all go to Target and buy socks and we all want a deal on our socks. Well, why don't we do the same thing with our stock? I mean, to me, that's something that when I see a company that is falling that I still think is a great company, that I will buy more of it because now the Mr. Market is giving me an opportunity to buy it for cheaper. And when the stock rebounds and returns to its air quote former glory, then you get to reap those benefits of being, I guess, a contrary investor. So another, you know, the fear and greed in the market, you know, Buffett always likes to say that he can make the most money when there's the most fear, because that's when it gives you the most opportunities to buy things. That's what he did with Apple. He just did that recently with HP. And so there's all kinds of opportunities when you see something like that. So that's something to think about as well.
I think, Stephen, I'll try to put myself in your shoes and give a personal example that I went through in the past. So I have a stock called Universal Forest Products. They do lumber distribution, essentially. So I bought the stock, first time I bought it was in 2017. I've added to it 3 times. Now, this was a stock that did really, really well for me. So it exploded up higher. I was feeling great about it. I was like, "This, I'm a genius. You know, this stock's going to 10X. You know, just all the great feelings you get. You know, they did a stock split and now I had more shares and all of these great things. You know, you have all these great emotions. And then COVID hit and it was almost like, the higher you rise, the faster you fall. And so I remember this in my memory. It's kind of burned in my memory. I remember looking at my portfolio and the return on it was zero. So from 2017 to 2020, the return was zero. And it felt like, man, I wasted all my time buying this company, all of the great gains I had for what? But something that you have to keep in mind is with this voting machine concept with the stock market, if you bought a stock and you bought it at a good price and that price represents what the business is truly worth, then that crash that you see in the stock, if the business is actually fine, it's going to snap back like a rubber band just as fast as it fell. And that's exactly what happened with the UFPI. Now that's their ticker symbol. So that's something to keep in mind, I think, that not all stock crashes in the stocks you buy are bad, and they certainly don't reflect the long-term track record of a stock. I mean, think about the stocks you look at now. I mean, do you look at what they did today, or do you look at, hey, what did they do 5 years from now, 10 years? If you examine those charts closely, you'll see times where they really crash really fast, but then they kind of snap back up. So keep that in mind and just remember, I mean, in the case of UFP, I knew this is still a company that's number one, like the undisputed king of their industry. Like nobody comes close in regards to size, and their kind of business really helps, really gets benefited from their economies of scale. So that was something that I knew. And so I just held on. And then you start to see the compounding from the dividends from all of those years that just juice the returns in the future. But you do have to wait for that rubber band to snap up. And so, you know, sometimes you'll pick a stock, maybe you pay too much. I mean, I look at a couple of stocks in my portfolio now that are in the red. Domino's Pizza, it's down 6%. Microsoft's down 4%. I think I probably paid, looking back, maybe I paid too high of a price for Domino's. But Microsoft, I look at that, I see that as an opportunity because Microsoft has customers that are giving, business customers that are giving them a percent of sales every single year. And they're not switching for Microsoft, let me tell you. Like, they're going to continue paying Microsoft those huge and growing support bills. You know, it's the infrastructure for these businesses. So don't feel like you got to bat 100% either. If you're batting more than 500, which means if you're getting more than 50% of your picks right, you're actually doing better than the average, because I don't want to get into the numbers, but that's the reality. So don't beat yourself up on one single stock pick. Don't beat yourself up on the short-term nature of the stock market. Just really try to give yourself some slack. Take a chill pill. Maybe go hit the golf, go play a round of golf and forget about your portfolio for a minute and just keep in mind that over the long term, things will get better.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We've got a very different kind of sponsor for this episode, the Jordan Harbinger Show, which is a podcast you really should be listening to. And I know that every day someone tells you that you just have to listen to some podcast and you nod and say, sure, and then you never listen to it. Don't let that happen here. Jordan's show, which Apple named one of the best of 2018, is aimed at making you a better informed, more critical thinker so you can get a sense of how the world actually works and come to your own conclusion about what's happening even inside your own brain. Each episode is a conversation with a different fascinating guest. And when I say there's something for everyone here, I really mean that. In one episode, Jordan talks to a hostage negotiator from the FBI who offers techniques on how to get people to like and trust you, which sounds useful and disturbing at the same time. Another episode tells the story of a cinematographer who discovered a lost city in the jungle and made one of the most important archaeological finds of the century. For example, I also recommend our listeners check out Jordan's conversations with Dan Ariely about why people believe irrational things and Mark Andreessen about exploring the power, peril, and potential of AI, both spectacular episodes. Jordan's always focused on pulling useful, practical insights out of his brilliant guests, and we're not talking about pop psychology or wishy-washy self-help stuff here. The episodes are loaded with bits of wisdom that you can use to legitimately change your mind and improve your life right away. If that's not worth checking out, I'm not sure what is. We really enjoy the show, and we think you will as well. There's just so much here. Check out jordanharbinger.com/start for some episode recommendations, or search for the Jordan Harbinger Show, that's H-A-R-B as in boy, I-N as in Nancy, G-E-R on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
They will get better. And I think I agree with everything that Andrew was saying. And I wanted to relay kind of an experience that I had. I had the same issue with Ally Bank. So I started investing in Ally Bank in, I think it was January of 2020. So right before the COVID experience happened and right before the market reacted. And I bought it around $34 a share. And then I bought it again the following month around $32 a share. And then March 2020 hit and it dropped like a rock. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, what did I get into? Did I really make that big of a mistake? Was I really that wrong? And as I kept thinking about the fundamentals of the company, even though the company dropped to, I think it was at the lowest rate was around $13 a share. And so when I would look at my portfolio and see that, it was just, you get a pit in your stomach. You think, oh my gosh, I just, I blew that. But I believed in what the company was doing, and I believed that everything that was going around it would rebound. And so I kept buying on the way down and was able to lower my cost basis to around $16 or $17 a share, which was huge, because when the stock rebounded, and it has, it's trading in the $40 range. It was up in the low 50s at one point. And it more than justified my faith in investing in that company. But it came back to believing in the fundamentals of the business and what I knew about the business. It also came back to this idea that Warren Buffett has talked about, and especially in his last few meetings that his shareholder meetings that they've had, that he's very bullish on the American economy and the American ingenuity, if you will. And if you believe that the stock market, which represents all the businesses that make up our economy, will do well over a long period of time, then you will partake in that success by investing in those companies. And think about, if you invest in the S&P 500, if you're not a stock picker, you want to work on buying indexes or ETFs. If you bet on the S&P 500 over 100 years, it's earned a 10% return, including dividends. That's awesome. And there's, you can't find a bank that you're going to earn those kinds of returns. Now, are you going to miss out on investing in a Tesla and it goes to the moon? You might, in part, but if that's not your game and investing in ETFs and indexes is your game, then in essence, betting on the American economy to do well over a long period of time. And right now the S&P 500 is underwater. It's negative compared to last year. But, I would bet just about anything that it's going to do well, maybe not the rest of the year. Who knows? I'm not a prognosticator. I can't forecast anything. So, do I believe that in 5 years it'll be higher than where it is now? Absolutely, I do. I would bet every penny I have that in 5 years it'll be higher than it is now. And so I think that's really what it comes down to. When you get a little bit down about how things are going, think about the economy, think about the American economy and how it will rebound. And if the Buffett has been bullish on this for 70 some years, and I kind of believe in what he's talking about, and everything that Andrew was talking about prior to my little diatribe here, that's all great advice. Those are all things that can help you in the long run.
Before we close, I'm just going to hit on the dividends, because I don't think I don't paint the picture good enough, because it just like clicks in my head, but I get the idea that, like, how can you get excited about 1% yield? How can you get excited about buying a stock for $100 and getting $1 a year? I get it. That's not very exciting. It doesn't give you the same returns that having timed GameStop would have, and tripling your money in like a week. I get that. There's two parts of this, I think. So first, you have to remember that it's an income stream that you're getting from these dividend stocks. And oh, by the way, it goes up every year. And so you get like a double compounding effect. So it would be nice to have jobs where everybody gets a nice raise every single year. But what about having an income stream where you get, a good company probably increase high single digits, maybe 10% a year. A not so good, maybe average company might increase your dividend 5%, 3% a year, at least keep up with inflation. So this income stream you're building, it's not just $1 today. It's $1 plus the raises you're getting every year as the business grows. All the sorts of great businesses that we can talk about that have grown over time. That's where you get a nice chunk of return. Not only that, if you reinvest those dividends, you throw them back on the table. Now the money you've made starts to make money as well. So you start to get a multiplying effect. It's almost like branches of a tree spreading out. The money you make makes more money. You put that back in, that money makes more money. And oh, by the way, not only is your total stake growing higher because you're throwing those dividends back in and those dividends are making dividends, but the amount of dividends you're making from each incremental stake is also increasing, because remember, we're getting a raise every year. So that's super, super powerful. And it doesn't start to really get fun until maybe 10, 15, 20 years out. Really fun when you get to 40 years out, but it takes a long time to wait for that. So I get why people don't get excited about that. But the last thing I wanted to touch on was when we talk about financial freedom, this idea of like, what is financial freedom? To me, it's being able to have a nest egg, essentially, that's funding your lifestyle and you're not having to draw from it. So in theory, you can live like that forever. And remember, you're getting raises because these companies are growing their dividends. So what's nice, you know, I'm always about drip, 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 put it back in. But at a certain point, you get to having a big enough portfolio where you don't need to throw it back in anymore. Now you can start to reap the benefits of that. And so if you have these stocks that you've been putting money into, the dividends are small now, but when you can finally say, all right, I don't need to throw it in now, those dividends can be really huge and you can fund a lifestyle with those dividends. And so you don't have to be reinvesting them anymore. You can start to enjoy them. And that's where I see a lot of the magic of dividend stocks, because not only do you like, you get all the double compounding effects and all of that, you can get to a point where the stocks in your portfolio, you can turn off the drip hose and then you can just enjoy it. And if it's these really great companies, like, you know, being in Microsoft for the last 20 years, imagine something like that, or being in Target the last 20 years, that's a really nice place to be. And you're just taking the money that they're giving to you and then spending it and living your life how you want. That's financial freedom to me. And that's the power of dividends.
Preach on, brother. That was the Drip King, folks. So I think that's a great way to kind of end up the ideas that we were trying to convey to Stephen and to anybody else out there that's feeling this way. It can be natural to feel like the market is always against you and it's always going down. But if you kind of take a step back and look at a longer time horizon, that's really the advantage that you have. And those kinds of things, everything that we talked about today are things that you can use to your advantage over a long period of time. So without any further ado, I will go ahead and sign us off. You guys go out there and invest with a margin of safety, emphasis on the safety. Have a great week. We'll talk to you all next week.
We hope you enjoyed this content. 7 Steps to Understanding the Stock Market shows you precisely how to break down the numbers in an engaging and readable way with real life examples. Get access today at stockmarketpdf.com. Until next time, have a prosperous day.
The information contained is for general information and educational purposes only. It is not intended for a substitute for legal, commercial, and/or financial advice from a licensed professional. Review our full disclaimer at einvestingforbeginners.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.